just to come back to funding, Noel, the minister has ruled out any increase in the licence fee when it becomes the broadcasting charge. Now, that PricewaterhouseCoopers report that you commissioned did suggest that the licence fee is pretty low comparative to household spending on other items. Do you feel it's fair to keep it at the level it's at in the current climate?
It's quite obvious from PwC that it is low, and I'm not sure what the BAI are going to find. I assume that that's one of the elements that they will look at. But I think if you do an analysis of other European countries, I would find it hard to see how they could come up with a different conclusion. Maybe they will. But in terms of what I've been talking about around public funding, because I'm acutely aware of the situation, and we all are nationally, what I've been saying is that there are lots of different ways of looking at this. If you look at the range of public funding, from the licence fee directly, there is 220 million. RTE gets about 182 million of that. You add in there's evasion rates, there's collection rates, there's sound and vision fund allocations. There is the licence fee element that goes to TG Cahir. There is the programming an hour a day that RTE supplies to TG Cahir. And as I say, evasion rates, one of the highest in Europe. And if you put all of those together, if you take the amount of money that is spent on public funding plus what is currently being evaded by people breaking the law and not paying for the licence fee when others are, you're probably up closer to 286, 290 million, somewhere in that figure, of which RTE gets 180. So I think the point that I've been trying to make is there is a set of resources out there, and that there is an opportunity through the BAI process and then whatever decisions are made out of that to have a look at that overall funding and how it is allocated. And it is about more than just RTE, and it is about more than just a licence fee increase. I think, you know, whatever happens in terms of licence fee increase or doesn't happen, I think the fact that licence fee is eroded constantly by inflation, that there is no index linking. And, you know, if you look at any other semi-state, prices have increased. And in our case, prices haven't increased and there's been no adjustment to inflation. So in fact, it's being eroded over time. And I do think that's a serious issue.
Now, you mentioned the BAI value for money review, I think is how the minister terms it. Your PwC report was seen in some quarters as a preemptive strike against the findings of that. Are you concerned about how you'll fare in that review?
I think anyone would have to be concerned. You know, I think it's a substantial review. We've met the consultants, as others have. It is an important review. It's not the panacea for everything. You know, like I think some people out there seem to think there is going to be this, if we introduce a media charge, this mammoth amount of new public funding that the world and its mother should all get a slice of. There won't be. But there will, if the media charge is introduced properly and works properly, be additional public funding. And I think what we have tried to say is, from an RTE perspective, we feel nationally there is a need, and we're a flawed organisation, all of that. I will accept the mistakes we've made, but I will say that there's a lot that we do right, and there's a lot that we only do and that only us can do. And people would miss that if it isn't there, and if RTE is pushed in a direction where it can no longer afford to do that. And I'm saying that as part of this review, people need to stand back from that and they need to say, what do we want out of broadcasting? And I feel strongly that what we need is a strong national public service broadcaster that is regulated, that makes commitments to types of programming that others don't do, and has mixed genres, but specifically does make commitments to types of programming that others don't do. And I've said that we're prepared to stand back and look cold and hard at ourselves in terms of us getting to that position.
Now, when Matt Dempsey of the NNI was in with us recently, he was talking about the move to paywalls. The Indo and the Times are going to introduce them later in the year. And he was making the point that RTE is in a very privileged position with regard to its revenue. You don't have to charge for online content. If you don't, you are putting these commercial operators, the newspapers, at a huge disadvantage and using public funds to do so.
I've never subscribed to the view that the newspaper industry is a sunset industry. It could be. And I think some newspapers will get into difficulties and have quite obviously gotten into difficulties. But readership levels are still incredibly high. News aggregators are never going to invest in Irish content. there is no sign yet that substantial multinational companies are going to invest in Irish content. So I do think you also reach a choice in terms of the newspapers, that if you are to access that level of Irish indigenous content, then the newspapers are the place that you will access it. I also think in terms of some of the changes that are happening in terms of the research is showing that some of the brands tend to drive news app choices to a large degree. You know, we have the brands in terms of newspapers. Newspapers have columnists and others, aggregators, and others don't. So there's this idea that, you know, I just wouldn't write off the newspaper industry yet. I think there's going to be huge challenges. You want to be incredibly naive not to say that. I think companies have gotten into difficulty and others will. But I think if they get the move to pay right, and if the industry wakes up to the fact that it needs to engage with all media companies on online advertising, be it mobile or be it laptop or be it tablet, which they haven't done, I think if the industry realises that, then that transition will be smoother. In terms of RTE's position on it, people access newspaper sites for different things to the reasons they access RTE. We don't have columnists. We don't have opinion pieces. People are accessing us for a whole range of different things. And also people do pay. People pay for RTE content. They pay a license fee. So the idea that we are some free organisation that just takes a direct state grant, people pay their licence fee. And to suddenly turn around and say to people who pay their licence fee that you have to pay again for the general content. So, but in terms of Matt's argument and the NNI argument, and I've had this argument with them, people, you know, we're all changing. We're all changing in this environment. And newspapers, they don't use very many of their columnists for specific pieces in terms of their online and mobile content. There's a whole range of different things that make them different that they're not doing. And similarly, RTE. We did a piece recently, the GLAIC programme for President Higgins, where we released it first online. And we've resisted that. We've been incredibly conservative about putting anything out there online first. We got 80 to 100,000 streams online, and we still got an audience of 450,000 for the regular broadcast. So that's something we need to rethink. So I suppose what I'm saying is I think newspapers and RTE offer different things. Some of them are the same, but they do offer different things. And we all need to rethink this space, and we all need to experiment in this space. And I think that's where newspapers are actually heading more and more.
Now, you've indicated that you will be charging for online content to overseas users. Do you not have a mandate in RTE to serve the diaspora?
We have a mandate in terms of providing a range of content to the diaspora, which we will continue to do. We're looking at entering the freemium space in that regard, not the paywall space. We're looking at offering premium packages on, and we haven't worked through the detail of it. We currently have about four different ways to go, and it's all about what you offer and what the price point is. But we have done the research internationally, and we have a very large international audience, and they are open to this idea. But we're not putting up a general paywall, you know, and I've made that clear. And I think there was an assumption that that's what we were going to do. We are looking at entering that premium package space. And others have done it. The BBC, which is entirely financed by licence fee, has no domestic commercial mandate. They've entered this space, you know, so for me, where we're at in terms of digital, and it's still evolving, and even though it's no longer new media, it is still evolving. But where we're at is there are a number of things holding back all companies. And I think one of them is the advertising industry's attitude to particularly mobile. They're just very conservative on mobile. And RTE's page impressions, the majority of them, as and from the end of last year, are now being generated on mobile. And I think that's something that as an industry, as a media industry, we need to address, and we need to get out there together to talk to the industry about what we're doing. And I think the problems on mobile are partly our fault. There's a creative problem, which we're all addressing. We'll have a new News Now app this summer. The Irish Times have redone their site. The Irish Independent have redone their site, or independent newspapers. So there was a creative problem. There is a measurement problem, which as an industry we need to get together and say, how do we solve this measurement problem? Because we'll never get advertisers interested if we don't solve that. And then there is a pay problem, and people want everything for free. And I think we're all looking at that at different ways. We already charge people in Ireland through a licence fee, so we have to look at it differently. So we are looking internationally. Domestic newspapers are looking at introducing paywalls nationally. So for me, they're the three issues. And the interesting thing about it is, despite the fact that we're all at each other's throats, understandably, and we're all defending our corner, there's at least two of those three issues that we all have a common cause on and that we're currently not working together on. And I think that that's an issue that we need to address as well.
How would you address that? Is that a function for the BAI maybe?
No, I've spoken, you know, and I've tried. You know, media is a funny thing in Ireland. You know, this tiny community who just kind of are obsessed with each other. You know, we actually don't talk to each other on a lot of this business stuff that often. I've tried to go out. I've tried to talk to the newspapers. We've made the free content offer to the NNI. We've done a deal with independent newspapers on our online content, on some of our video content. And I think maybe it's up to two or three of us to take a leadership role on these issues and say measurement and other issues like that are issues we all face, convincing the advertising agencies and the advertisers as to where we're going with this medium is an issue we all face. And maybe that's a way forward.
Now, you said recently that you saw RTÉ's function as articulating our stories, relaying our experiences, facilitating national debate and conversation. When John Purcell of the IBI was in with us, he said, well, that's what local radio does too, and it has the lion's share of the audience. 57%, I think, listen to local radio. You can see clearly an argument for giving them a cut of public funding.
I have said publicly on several occasions, including to the IBI conference, that I was asked to speak at it the year before last, that commercial radio does public service broadcasting. That's an entirely different thing to say that they should be funded through the licence fee. Commercial radio is commercial radio. And I've had this discussion directly with John Purcell, who's somebody that I admire and I think is somebody who's doing a very good job representing the IBI. But if that's where we're going, and ultimately what commercial radio want is they want the legislation changed around being able to access sound and vision directly for news programmes. I think that's, whether they all say that publicly or not, I think that is the core issue for a lot of commercial radio. If that's where we're going, then why shouldn't provincial newspapers get access? If national commercial radio is to get access in that way, why shouldn't the Irish Times get it? Why shouldn't independent newspapers get it? There are also a couple of very big players in the commercial media market. There are small companies that are doing extraordinary work on very small budgets, but there are a couple of big players. And the other thing I constantly come back to in this argument is commercial radio can just change. They can move in a different direction. A new buyer can come in and put them in a different direction. And you undermine the national broadcaster by carving up the license fee to split it out amongst a whole range of companies that may be in a different place. As well as coming back to that argument as to why significant media companies should get that kind of direct subsidy. So I agree with John completely in terms of the value of commercial radio. I agree with him completely that some elements of commercial radio is most certainly public service broadcasting, but it is commercial radio. And does that mean that if people access the license fee, that if they sell the license on, they're going to return a proportion of the proceeds to the state? Is that what's going to happen? Where does this end? And also, if you're running, as I say, a provincial newspaper, what are you going to say? If a company that is a rival for local advertising is getting this and you're not, how do you justify that?
Now, you're about to lose Claire Dignan as Managing Director of Radio, one of the few women at a senior level in broadcasting. Are you happy with the representation of women at that level?
I think we currently have three women before Claire exits, and we'll see what happens in terms of the competition there. We have three women on the executive board, which I think is the most that RTÉ has ever had. I think we had two previously. Am I happy with the representation of women at a senior level? No. I'm happier that we have talked internally about this, and I'm happier that women are coming through, because for me, the future is all about women coming through at different levels. I think the appointment of Hilary McGowan in as managing editor of news, of TV news, was a significant appointment. It had absolutely nothing to do with the fact that she was a woman. It was to do with the fact that she was the best for the job. But I think that that was significant. I think it's unbelievable that we've never had a woman in news at that level. I think that's staggering.
And finally, can I ask you about your own ambitions for RTÉ? Where do you see the station in 5 years' time?
I think the next 6 months will determine part of that, in terms of the decisions that are made, and I'm not party to those decisions. But there are just significant decisions to be made over the next 6 months. I know where I want RTE to be. I would like RTE to be a public service broadcaster that can provide a range of programming in mixed genres, that can engage with people, that has a universal access, that has independence, that is trusted, that offers value for money, accountability, but also offers things that nobody else does. If you go back through the definitions of public service broadcasting, they've all changed, and there's a whole, you know, from Reith back to 1928 right the way through. For me, that sense of offering things that nobody else does, and it's not even necessarily a market failure argument, and it's not the single argument. There's a whole range of different arguments around public service broadcasting. But if you're not offering something that nobody else does, then you shouldn't be getting public funding. And I think that's a difference. And that's why I'm in public service broadcasting. That's why I love the concept of, for all of its flaws, what public service broadcasting should be about. And I think that RTE does that. And I'd like to see it continue and enhance in terms of what it offers over that period.